All right, Dad?
Hey,
how are you feeling?
All right, a bit tired, you know.
Are you in agony yet?
On the verge.
Oh, that's a very good sign, because agony is the body's way of telling you something.
Yeah, you're telling you you've had enough, didn't
you? No, Dad. Agony is telling you it's doing you good. The more agony you're in, the more good it's doing you.
How much longer we got up here?
Another 15 seconds rope work, Dad.
15 seconds? Oh, 5-4, thank you, Magda!
Oh, and now we follow it up with a little toe touching to get our trapezoids moving. 1-2, touch, touch. 1-2, touch, touch. Now you have a go.
I can't get down here, Pete. Do you think you could touch my toes? I'll touch yours next time.
Well, it's not really getting the full benefit of the exercise, Dad, but as this is your first workout, I'll touch them this week. All right, 1-2. Touch, touch, 1-2, touch, touch.
There, your knee's bent. That doesn't count.
Come on, let's go and have a sauna bath. It'll do you good.
Hold on, I want to rest a bit. I'm exhausted.
You see, the only way you're going to get physically fit, Dad, is through perseverance.
Oh, yeah, the perseverance physical culture method.
What a wonderful man Percy was. Mr. Universe 1912. Superb deltoids.
What amazing pectorals, too.
What amazing pectorals, Dad. But even with a course like the perseverance course, you've got to be extremely careful. Because let's face it, the body is a very, very delicate instrument.
Right.
Remember what happened to Mr. Wainwright?
Tragic business.
A tragic business. He saw this advertisement, you see, which said, tick off which parts of the body you wish to improve, you see. Do you want a chest like a barrel? If so, tick. Do you want legs that never tire? If so, tick. Do you want arms like rods of steel?
If so, tick.
Precisely. And it was 2 guineas for each part of the body. Now, Mr. Wainwright only had 4 guineas to spare.
Oh, yes, because he'd been off work for a fortnight with that carbuncle, hadn't he?
He had a very nasty carbuncle upon him. And so he wrote away for the 2 parts of the body he thought needed building up most, namely his extremely puny chest, for puny it was, Dad.
Yes, puny
and
it was.
Namely his very puny arms. So back come the brochure, and he exercised away for months on end. And eventually he built up this magnificent chest, just like a barrel. Just like the advertisement said. Wonderful arms. Arms like length of steel they were. He had a superb great big torso. But the tragic thing was that due to lack of funds, he had not built up the legs that never tire. With the result that one day he's running for a Green Line bus and they snap like twigs beneath him.
Terrible business, that.
A terrible business, Dad.
Shall I go to a sauna now?
I think a sauna would be a very refreshing thing to do after such a wonderful workout, Dad.
Yeah. Is it through here?
It's through here, yes.
You know, the one thing I don't understand with a sauna is what it does for you apart from making you hot, sweaty and uncomfortable.
The point of the sauna, Dad, is manifold. But mainly, it's to enable your pores to breathe. There you have an example of pores breathing, do you see? Breathing very nice. This is why nudists throw off their clothes to allow the oxygen to get to their pores and allow them to breathe.
I suppose that's why you get all that heavy breathing down the Sunny Glade nudist camp.
A possible explanation of this phenomenon, Dad. But even more important than the pores breathing and everything like that, it's your diet, because we intake so many poisons and starches into the system, you see.
Yeah, of course we do.
Of course we do. You see, the less you eat, the healthier you get.
Yeah.
And the more your mind begins to work. The less you eat, the more your mind works. And this explains why so many of the fakirs and swamis in India go on these prolonged fasts.
And on these prolonged nails, Pete.
They go on long nails for mortification of the flesh, Dad.
Mortification of the flesh?
Mortification of the flesh, nothing more or less. And once they're sitting there mortifying their flesh as best as they can, they become aware of things they weren't aware of before.
Like how hungry they are.
Precisely. And the fact they're sitting on nails. But more than that, they become aware of great thoughts. They have transcendental thoughts. They glimpse God and think of wonderful new things. This is why you'll find throughout the annals of history, all the way down from Bertrand Russell to the tiny sheeted form of Gandhi, the great thinkers have tended to be rather skinny and meagre.
Thin people tend to have big brains.
This is right, Dad.
Well, by that token, Twiggy should have one of the greatest minds in the Western world.
Well, rumour has it she is a contender for the Brain of Britain 68.
A top contender, Pete.
Ably guided by Justin Villeneuve, of course.
Certainly.
A shrewd business manager.
Yeah. Of course, to take the whole point to its logical conclusion, God, who has the greatest mind of all, and God, who in his ineffable wisdom embraces us all with his mind, and everything, he must be thin as a rake.
He is thinner than a rake, Dad, hence the hymn, Immortal, Invisible. And this is why God is so hard to see, and why people go to such lengths to see him. This is why all these people are going over to India, you see, to study under the Maharishi Desaad, out at his Transcendental Meditation Centre by the Ganges, you see. Many people, some of the world's greatest thinkers, Mia Farrow, along with pop luminaries...
Pop loonies?
Pop luminaries.
Oh, I thought you said
leading lights of the pop world, Donovan, Beach Boys, Beatles, that type of thing, are going over to that part of the world to try and get a glimpse of God. For example, when the Beatles arrived over there in Nepal...
When the Beatles arrived over there in Nepal, the George and the John and the Ringo.
What do you mean?
Well, when the Beatles arrived over there in Nepal, the John...
No, they only arrived in Nepal. I've not heard of these other places you mentioned.
It's a joke, Pete.
Oh, I see, a play on words based on the Christian names of the Beatles, John, Paul, George and Ringo, adding the prefix N to make a somewhat ludicrous pun. An amusing sally, Dad, but scarcely germane to the rather serious discussion we have in hand about God at the moment.
My apologies for introducing such a flippant note into it.
Apologies accepted, Dad, but don't do it again.
Point taken.
Shut up. Anyway, when they arrive there by the Ganges, you see, the Maharishi Desaad comes over to them, the wonderful bearded mystic, and he hands them some flowers with a wonderful, warm, greeting giggle. Very similar to the noise Stu uttered, but slightly more warm and human and wonderful. And then he takes them off to their tent and comes over to them and whispers a mantra in their ears.
What's a mantra?
A mantra, Dad, is a secret word you've got to remember.
Remember a mantra, remember... Yeah, what'd you hit me with that bunch of old twigs for?
This was to get your nerve ends tingling and to shut your face.
Oh,
a mantra. A mantra is a very important thing which is geared to the individual psyche and personality traits of the undergoee. You see, they choose a word which suits everybody. The Maharishi chooses it. And then you say it to yourself endlessly and you go into a trance and think transcendental great things using the two-thirds of the mind what are not used usually. You could do it now if we could choose a mantra for yourself.
Well, it makes you go calm, does it, when
yes,
you repeat it?
Exactly. It makes you extremely calm and very sort of lucid.
Yeah.
So if you could choose one to suit your psyche, what kind of word would suit your psyche?
Word for me. Jane Russell.
Jane Russell might well be a very suitable mantra. Yeah. Right. Let your mind go blank.
All right.
Have you done it?
Oh, yeah.
Not a very difficult step for you, I imagine. Now your mind's blank, repeat your mantra.
Jane Russell. Jane Russell. Is this supposed to make you go calm?
This is the desired effect, Dad, yes.
It's not working with me. I'm coming over all unnecessary.